Welcome to the Route 42 podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42 north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. We started the serving challenge at Christ the King with St. Paul's words in his letter to the Philippians, "Have the same mind as Christ." Over the last several weeks, we've talked about attitude, availability, action, and ability, and there's one last aspect of our serving we need to consider today, and that's ambition. So think about what you wanted to grow up to be when you were a kid. Was that just wishful thinking and your life didn't exactly turn out that way? Or was it an ambition and you worked hard and with focus to make that childhood dream come true? And what if we said that St. Paul's words, "Have the same mind as Christ," was his ambition for you and me and every Christian? Let's listen. Let's turn to our God's Word now. Ephesians chapter 6 is the first reading this morning. In fact, both of these readings are mentioned in this week's section of the serving challenge when the theme is ambition. And so St. Paul writes this to the Ephesians and to us in chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." This is the first reading this morning. The Holy Gospel is in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. Jesus and the disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem, actually for the last time before his death, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. So again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is God's word for this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit as always. Amen. We're now on the fifth and final week of the Serving Challenge. We've been talking about various aspects of what it is to be serving other people in the name of Jesus, or like Christ served us. We started with that reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It said, I want your mind to be the same as the mind of Christ, who did not consider his equality with the Father something he should hang on to, but he gave it up and came to earth and became a human being, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, like we say in the Creed, all those things, in order that you and I might be saved. So over the course of the last several weeks, I have my clipboard so I can remember the right order. We talked about our attitude. We talked about our abilities. We talked about our action. Last week we it was availability and then action, and last week was ability. This week we talk about our ambition. Now, ambition seems to be an odd word to use when you're talking about serving people. Jesus said to the disciples in the gospel lesson, you have to be servants of one another. Don't seek to be masters, but seek to be servants. And that goes contrary to what everybody seems to think in our day and age about ambition. Nobody's ambitious to serve other people. Everybody's ambitious to make it to the top, to do whatever it takes to, well, let's say it this way instead. Imagine that you have a trophy case, a cabinet with glass doors on it, and imagine that by the end of your life, you will have put in that trophy case all kinds of things that have been important to you throughout your life. So that when you're getting to the end of your life, you can look at that trophy case and say, this is all the great stuff I did. Maybe it's that kindergarten graduation hat. Maybe it's that test that you passed that you studied hard for. Maybe it's your driver's license or your CDL. Maybe it's your GRE or your diploma from high school. Or maybe it's the degree you got from college. Maybe it's a trophy you got because you're on the baseball team or the wrestling team or the basketball team, or you name it. Maybe you got there. Maybe it's something you won in 4-H. Maybe it's a promotion you got. Maybe it's, who knows, a raise that you were looking for. Maybe it's an award you didn't expect. All those kind of things that you cherished through the years and celebrated that you got. Put those in that trophy case so that at the end of your life you can look at them and say, look at all the cool stuff that happened in my life that I did. Now, ambition is, if you can imagine that then, back up to here and say, okay, what do you need to do now to get to that point so that you've got all those things in there? Are there still some things you need to accomplish? Are there still some things you want to do? Are there still some things you haven't done that you'd like to get in that trophy case? So that at the end of your life, you can look back at your life and say, what a wonderful life this has been. Think about ambition that way. When Jesus was in heaven, he was living that life. He was living the dream. Everything that he had because he was the Son of God. There was nothing else that he could get. But when God said and decided within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need to do something about those people there on earth, the wonderful earth that he created and the people that he loved, Jesus said, I give that all up and I'll come down and I will go and suffer, and be nailed to the cross, receive the scars on the hands and the feet. I will give up everything so those people can live here in heaven. That was his ambition. St. Paul says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, not because he was looking forward to filling up his trophy case again, but he was looking forward to the joy of seeing you in heaven with him. Now, I think John and James in the gospel lesson kind of sort of got that, but not completely. They kind of sort of got it that they would be in heaven with Jesus, but they came to him with this odd request that day and said, we want you to grant us this request so that when we get to heaven, we could sit next to you on either side, right there with you. So they got the idea that the point was for them to get into heaven, but their ambition was this. When the rest of us get to heaven, we'd look at Jesus on the throne and see James and John next to him. That was their ambition. And Jesus was like, you know, I'm not in a position to do that for you guys. And that was a wrong ambition, even for saints, even for disciples, to get to heaven. They had it backwards. Their ambition should not have been, we want people to see us next to Jesus when we get to heaven. Their ambition might have been better to say, when people look at us in heaven, we want them to see Jesus. So hang on to that for a little bit. And let's talk about St. Patrick for a little bit. We'll come back to that. St. Patrick was definitely a Trinitarian Christian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I have this green stole. I have the symbol of the Trinity here under the cross. He went to Ireland as a missionary to the Irish people, taught them about the Trinity, taught them about the sacrifice of Jesus. Pretty much the whole nation of Ireland was converted within his lifetime because of his ministry. He was that good of a missionary. His ambition was to convert these folks. We have two important writings of his in history. One is his Confession of Faith that is about the Trinity. The other one is a letter that he wrote that excommunicated one of the generals in the Irish nation those days who practiced human trafficking. And St. Patrick himself had been a slave. He was the very first Christian to write against slavery and human trafficking. But that's what he did. And he converted the Irish people. But he wrote this other thing that we've already said, this Confession of Faith, that is sometimes called St. Patrick's Breastplate, which is kind of an odd title for us because we're not awfully familiar with breastplates. A breastplate is what the Roman soldiers would. So if you've seen the movie Gladiator, okay, so he's got this thing on, it goes here, that protects him. We're not awfully familiar with all the things that St. Paul talks about in that thing about the armor of God, the helmet and the sword and the belt, and because we just don't have Roman soldiers roaming around anymore unless you go to a sci-fi convention or something. But we do have other people who wear breastplates, only they call them tactical vests. They're made out of a heavy-duty kind of material that won't let police officers or SWAT officers or soldiers, they won't let them get wounded in critical parts of their body. But not only do they have tactical vests, they have body armor as well in other parts of to shield other parts of their body. Helmets. You've seen soldiers on television and the news. You've seen this in the news. You've seen SWAT officers in the movies and that kind of stuff. They have full body armor and so forth. Imagine those guys. They have all these things on to protect themselves from getting injured in various ways. If you don't like to think of those guys, think people in hazmat suits, full suits covering their whole body so that, and it's not going to protect them from bullets and knives, but it will from germs. When you get the hood, you get the mask, the whole deal. Think of those kind of things. St. Paul says, this is what it is like to put on the armor of God. You got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, all this kind of stuff, the shoes of the gospel of peace. I tell you the honest truth. There are Bible studies upon Bible studies about the armor of God. Our ladies group has done a couple of them over the years by a couple of different authors. But almost every one of these Bible studies that I've looked at, they do only a couple of things. They say, let's take a detailed look at the armor and what it looked like in Paul's day, and let's take a detailed look at what it could look like for you or for me if you put on the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. It can protect you from all the evil things in the world. St. Patrick's breastplate prayer is kind of like that. We said that earlier. It's Trinitarian because it talks about God. And we talked about, when we read it, we said the first part was, I bind to myself today, I'm putting on the breastplate. And then the next verse, by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, that's all about Jesus. The verse after that is all about the work of the Father, the starlit heaven, the glorious sun, the whiteness of the moon. The third verse is all about the work of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about, why do we need this protection in the first place? St. Paul said, we don't fight against the things of this world. It's a spiritual battle. But St. Patrick says, well, yeah, that's true, but demon snares of sin, the vice, Satan's spells, false words of heresy, all these things are the things that we need protection from. And the Bible studies that do this, they all focus on the details of what the armor is, and why we need that protection, and how well you'll be protected. And if you get all that armor on, you will absolutely be a great prayer warrior. You'll be positioned to be a great prayer warrior. But in the last verse of St. Patrick's prayer, the last one right before the end. Here's what he says. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. You read this all together earlier. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I'm pretty sure that if somebody's wearing body armor and tactical gear, that they feel they're protected from danger. I'm pretty sure that if somebody's wearing a hazmat suit with the hood and the mask and all that, they feel like they're protected from danger. I feel like even if you walk into an isolation room in the hospital and just put on a paper gown and gloves and a mask, you're going to feel some sense of protection and danger. But that's you. That's the person who's wearing that. Just like a knight in shining armor wears a suit of armor and feels totally protected. But here's what I'm going to ask you to imagine. Imagine seeing a knight in shining armor who's fully protected with a suit of armor so that you cannot see even a half inch of his skin. All you see is the armor. So you don't know what color his skin is, you don't know what color his hair is, you don't know what color eyes he has, you don't know whether his hands are calloused or smooth or big or small. All you see is the armor. Imagine somebody who's wearing a hazmat suit. Maybe you can see his eyes through the plastic window, but you can't see a face or anything. All you see is the suit. Imagine a police officer, a SWAT officer, a soldier, where you can't see any part of their skin, just, you know, where their eyes are showing through. All you can see is the suit. From the inside, there's that protection. From the outside, all we can see is the suit. And St. Patrick, at the end of the prayer, says, this is what the suit looks like from the outside. It looks like Jesus. All I can see as I look at somebody who's wearing the armor of God is Jesus. All I can see is Christ. Christ with them, Christ within them, Christ behind them, Christ before them, Christ beside them, Christ above them, Christ beneath them. All I see is Jesus when I look at somebody who is fully encased in the armor of God. That's why James and John were wrong when they said to Jesus, we want to sit on either side of you so that when people see Jesus, they see us. Should be the other way around. When people look at James and John, do we see Jesus? When people look at St. Paul, do we see Jesus? When people look at St. Patrick, do we see Jesus? When people look at you or me, do they see Jesus? And when people look at you and me, do they see the Jesus who gave up everything to serve? When they look at you and me, do they see the Jesus who wasn't ambitious like the way we would think to fill his trophy case with knickknacks and trophies and whatnot? What do they see when they see us? Do they see the Jesus who said, all I want to do is to love you so that you can know Jesus? That's it. There is a hymn that has a line in it. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. I have this idea that maybe instead of at the end of life thinking about having a trophy case with all our accomplishments in it, maybe it would be better to have a trophy case that's totally empty and all it has is a picture of Jesus in it. So that when you look at it, when anybody looks at it, all they see is Jesus. Maybe that's a better ambition than even the ambition of James and John. And maybe that ambition will promote the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live during a Sunday worship service at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio, on March 17, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you and thank you for listening.